an invitation, and if you need to know the Lord as your Savior, boy, don't leave without Him. I tell you, He's so good, and He's so great, and He loves you, and He cares about you, and He wants to be your Savior, and wants you to have eternal life, and He's the only way. Trust in Him this morning as your Savior. But I do want to bring a message to moms, and I just want to read one verse to start with, and that's chapter 14 of Proverbs and verse number 1. Proverbs 14 and verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And this is obviously a reference to mothers, and it kind of divides mothers in two categories here, good ones and bad ones. Let's not kid ourselves. We've all been on this earth long enough that we know that's true. There's some good moms on this earth. There's some bad ones. I don't think so much the bad ones all want to be bad ones, but a lot of times they just don't know what they're doing. I know when I became a father, I had never taken a course on how to be a father. And most fathers, most mothers have never taken any kind of course whatsoever on how to be a father, how to be a mother. You just all of a sudden get this news from the doctor. You're going to be a father, you're going to be a mother, and what do we do now? And usually what we do is we start looking at everybody else and saying, well, what do they do? And let's just follow the crowd. Well, that's not always good advice. And it says, a wise woman buildeth her house. She tries to edify her house. She tries to build up her house and build into her house those things that are going to last forever. The foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. This word plucketh here means to tear down, to overthrow, to ruin. And there's been many, many moms that maybe just didn't know what they were doing, even moms in churches like this and other churches that just maybe it's a part of their nature or something, but they tear down the church, they tear down the pastor, they tear down the principal, they tear down the school teacher, they tear down the judge, they tear down the policeman, they tear down the teachers at the school, and they tear down everything that is good for the child. And in so doing, they end up destroying their home. Whether we want to agree with it or not, I believe every person needs a pastor as they grow through this life. Not that pastors are perfect. I know I'm not, and I've got a lot to learn. I'm still trying to learn. But, you know, pastors come from the heart of God. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 3, verse 15. He said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pastors come from the heart of God to try to feed people with knowledge and understanding. You tear down the pastor, you tear down the assistant pastor and the staff of the church and the Sunday school teachers in the church and the children's church workers and the youth workers or whoever they might be, you're tearing down people that God has appointed to help complement what you're trying to do as a mother or as a father, try to supplement your home. We do not replace your home, but we do supplement it. We try to help solidify in the church what you're teaching your children at home. And there's many a mother that's sided with her children in every case against the principal at school, against the teachers at school, against the judge, and against the local policeman. They all got it in for my son. They all got it in for my daughter. And she doesn't mean to, but she ends up plucking down her house. But the wise woman buildeth it up. Every wise woman buildeth her house. I want to encourage you to build your house. Build the things in your house that will produce character in your children, that will produce discipline in your children, that will produce a work ethic in your children and cause them to become good citizens and cause them to be good Christians. And you'll never regret that. You'll never regret instilling those things in your children. And then as they grow older and they leave the house and they're off on their own, those things that you instilled in them, those things that you built up in them, will go with them, and you will have children daughters and sons that you'll be proud of in the right sense of the word, and you'll be thankful for, and you will, they'll be a blessing to you the rest of your life if you'll build up your house. Now, I want to bring about three different subjects. This is kind of a scattered message here today for modern mothers, and the title of my message is Mistakes for Modern Mothers to Avoid. Mistakes for Modern Mothers to Avoid. I want to encourage you modern mothers to convert and become old-fashioned mothers. And I want to bring out three words that don't necessarily build on each other, but just three things that are really heavy on my heart for mothers and grandmothers to consider. And I really think all three of these could be taken by all fathers and grandfathers that are here. And my intent and my motive is just to help you in the raising of your children, to help build up your house and not pluck it down. And I want to deal with three issues that you're going to have to deal with as a mother, as a grandmother, or as a father or grandfather. But especially you moms, I want to deal with three issues. And I'll just state what they are, and then I'll make some explanations about them. And I hope that maybe if some have to, there'll be a change in the way they think and the way they approach these things, so that these things do not end up being destructive to your children, but we can have the right attitude and spirit towards them so that they will be edifying and building up of your children. I want to deal with three words. The first word is the word fun. The word fun. And while I'm doing this, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that would be in your New Testament. I have never seen a day where this has become so out of balance in its pursuit. And by fun today, I mean the insatiable desire of especially Americans to be entertained. And I believe that this is a very, very destructive path for us to let our children go down. And I want to encourage you, number one, to watch out for fun with your children. I'm not saying don't have fun with your children. I'm saying watch out for the pursuit of fun and entertainment. There are many parents today that for some reason or other have become what I call slaves to sensitivity. They become slaves to their children's feelings. And they seem to judge whether they've been a good mother or a good father or not on whether their children are happy. This is a big mistake. And yet there's a lot of moms who just think, I'm a good mother if my children are happy. And as a result, they will pursue and try to push on their children those things that they think make them happy. And you ask any kid what that will be, and he'll say, fun. This is a big mistake. I would encourage you in your parenting to take the word fun and cut it out of your dictionary and cut it out of your vocabulary and never use it in the context of your conversation with your children. I can't tell you how many times, and I think anybody in this church, and probably any church that works with children in children's ministries, whether they're Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, kids club workers, bus workers, I can't tell you how many children over these years, probably hundreds and hundreds of them, have quit coming to church for one reason and one reason alone. It's not fun. And the parents have let them do that. One of the worst questions you'll ever ask your child as a mother or a father or a grandpa or a grandma is these words. Was it fun? I want to encourage you today to take that out of your vocabulary. That is a destructive question. Did you have a good time? Did you like it? These things do not matter when it comes to something that is right. Thank you. I got one amen. It does not matter whether your children have fun. What is usually the response of the child? It was all right. It was okay. And then the parent is in a tough spot by the question she asked. Did you have fun? No. What are you going to say? What do most mothers say? Well, then you don't have to go there anymore. And what have they trained the character of the child to do? To only be involved in those things that are fun. Did you like it? No. Did you have a good time? Not really. Now they might the first time. They might come to Pat's the Pirate Club, love it for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, that's human nature. Everything that's new is fun for a while. But then they come the third week, fourth week, same stuff. And pretty soon they say, I don't like it anymore. And Mom, if you are a slave to your children's feelings, right then you're going to make a horrific decision that's going to pluck down your house. You're going to say, well, they don't have to go anymore. I have seen this dozens and dozens and dozens of times where a child went to a Sunday school class, rode the bus or something like this. You can ask any one of the workers. We have such a hard time today getting children into church. Back in the 80s, this church was so flooded with children, we didn't know where to put them. But things have changed in the last 20, 25 years. And we have a hard time getting children to ride our buses anymore. We have a hard time getting them to come to Sunday school or having them stay in children's church. We have a hard time getting them to want to come on Wednesday nights. And over and over and over, I have seen they're good moms. They wouldn't mean to harm their kids for nothing or for anything, for you English teachers. They wouldn't want to harm their child for anything. But they asked the wrong question. And we end up training the child's character that life is about having fun. Life is about having a good time. Life is about only doing the things you like. And if you don't have fun and you don't have a good time and you don't like it, you don't have to do it. And what happens when they get old? It's not just churches. They pass this magic age of 16 when it comes to New York State compulsory education laws, and one out of every two children in the inner city schools drops out. And three out of every 10 kids in the country schools drops out. Why do they drop out? It is not because they're stupid. It is because they have no character. It is because a mom or a dad says, then you don't have to go. What happens when this type of a person gets married? And it's no fun anymore. What happens when this type of a person gets a job? And it's no fun anymore. What happens when this child grows up and begins having children of their own, and being a father or being a mother is no fun anymore? Their character has been trained since they were this big by some well-meaning mothers who are slaves to their child's feelings. They just want their kids to be happy. What's wrong with that? But then they end up in an adult life where they don't have any character. And things go south, and the mom's there saying, what happened? And then we humans, naturally, we are blame shifters, every one of us. That's just how we are. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed God. The husband you gave me. You know, and so on. And they just went back and forth. We're blame shifters, and what happens? Man, the church failed my kids. The pastor failed my kids. The assistant pastor failed my kids. The principal, the teachers at school, they had it in for my kids. Now, let me give you a question. If you've been daydreaming up to this point, let me give you a different question and memorize this. It'll change your children and your grandchildren forever. And you'll benefit them, and you'll say, boy, I was glad I went to church. This is a question. If my dad asked me this once, he asked me this 100 times, and so help me, I better have an answer. Here it is. Now, let me say it. Get it in your heart, and then you go back to daydreaming or thinking about your roast or the restaurant or whatever you're doing this afternoon. But at least get these five words. It'll change your children forever. What did you learn today? And man, I better have had an answer. Don't ask your children, did you like it? Did you have fun? Did you have a good time? Ask them, what did you learn today? And if they learned anything, it was worth them being here. And you'll be amazed what comes out of your child's mouth, how they listened, how they learned. What did you learn in school today? That'll help every teacher in the public schools become a better teacher. And then wait for an answer. What did you learn in Sunday school today? What did you learn in children's church today? What did you learn in kids' club tonight? What did you learn? And that kid's going to start, and you know something? Let me tell you something. The gaining of knowledge is one of the greatest pleasures you'll ever have. And you will open up a fountain of pleasure to that child of learning knowledge. And that kid will learn and learn, and the next time they'll 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 learn, and as a result, they're going to end up having fun learning. With this continuous appetite that kids have today for fun and entertainment and Xboxes and video games and so on and so forth, is taking the God-given minds that he has given, and it's just destroying them. And the 5 hours of television a day. And a lot of that atmosphere is produced by parents who don't know what to do with the kids, so let's entertain them. Fun. I don't think my dad knew what the word meant. My dad never watched a sports event I ever participated in. I was good at basketball. I started on the volleyball team. I ran 5 years of track. I set 2 track records at Orchard Park that are still standing after 34 years. He never once gave me a ride to practice, never once gave me a ride to home. He never once came and watched me compete. All he ever said is, you better get your work done. I lived on a farm. You have got to create work. It is the repetitious doing of chores and tasks that produces character in a person that lasts a lifetime. The repetitious doing of dishes, making your bed, doing your laundry, folding your clothes, vacuuming the carpet, sweeping the sidewalk, mowing the lawn, raking the leaves over and over and over again. You better do it done. You better get it done, and you never do it for them, and you make them do it, 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 and you make them do it. That character will last all of their lives. That character will last them. And you look at your kids when they're 20 and 30 and 40, and they're going to give you so much joy. Because they'll be good citizens, they'll be good Christians, they'll have character and discipline. But we've got to get away from this fun. And this entertainment-crazed society. Do you understand we live in a country where 60% of the children 12 years of age and under have never been in any type of a church ever once in their life? What a mission field. My big question is why? I'll tell you why. It's because most parents think it's not going to be fun for the kids. And that's what's guiding our homes today. Fun and entertainment. Man, I grew up without a television. We didn't have it on the farm. We had chores. We had work. Yeah, you want to be in sports? Go ahead, Art. Just make sure you get your work done. You know, that's lasted me a lifetime. It's lasted me a lifetime. These next couple I'll give a little bit quicker. Get this thing of fun in perspective. Mothers, fathers, grandmas, grandpas. And get that question out of your vocabulary. And ask them, what did you learn? What did you learn? What did you learn? And then keep the conversation going. Oh, that's a good thing. Right there. What else did you learn? Oh, okay. You know what else about that? You know what else about Abraham? You know what else about Moses? You know what else about this doctor or that doctor? And you build on that thing, and the next thing you know, you're bonding with your children as you learn together about the things of the Lord and the things they learn at school. Even VOTEC school. If you don't know a thing about it, ask them, moms, what'd you learn? Well, we replaced the floating carburetors today. Oh, that's great, son. You're always going to need to know how to replace a floating carburetor. Number two is fellowship. Watch out for fellowship for your children. Now, by fellowship, the buzzword nowadays is what we call socialization. Socialization. You got to be careful about that. In 1 Corinthians 6, I never did read the verse on, did I? 1 Corinthians 10, 7 warns us about fun. It says, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now you read that story back in Exodus 32 and see how many God destroyed that day. When all they lived for was to play. But I got to go on. 1 Corinthians 6, tells us, and I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6, it says in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now it talks about separation, not socialization. It talks about separation from unbelievers, not isolation, but separation. And a lot of times what we do with our children is we put them in the very group that is the absolute worst for them day after day after day, and that's their peers. We put first graders with all first graders every day, and second graders with all second graders, and third graders with all third graders, and fourth graders with all fourth graders, and we pull our hair out and wonder, where did my kids get that from? Because we've had such an emphasis. Now, in our case, my wife and I homeschooled. I know that's not for everybody. I understand that. And some send their kids to Christian schools, some public schools. I understand that. But you've got to be warned about socialization. That it is going to have a tremendous, tremendous influence on your children, who you allow them to socialize with. who you allow them to fellowship with. And you have got to be the greatest influence in the lives of your children, whichever you choose. My wife and I, we chose homeschooling. We did that with our children. Now, of course, we were just, I mean, this is back in the early 80s. People thought, you know, you're nuts, you're from Mars, we don't know what planet you arrived from, what would make you possess you to think of doing that? And over and over and over again, we heard the question, what about socialization? And I'd always say, the kids their age are the ones I want to keep them away from the most. Can I tell you the best place on God's green earth to socialize? It's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christian Ministries. You see, when you just send them off to the public schools, and I know there's a lot of good that's done in those and a lot of good teaching. I went through them myself and a lot of good teachers, and so I understand that. It's not the teachers, but it's the kids they're with every day. You don't know what they're know or what they're saying to your children or how they're influencing them. I just believe it's getting worse. I don't know if it's getting any better now. But you see, when you come to the church, you come to the only institution there is on earth where your kids are going to see everything from babies in the nursery to people in their 90s and everything you imagine in between. It's the only institution on earth that functions that way. I mean, thank God for the Kiwanis, and thank God for the Lions, and thank God for the AmVets, and thank God for the VFW, but they don't have a nursery of 90-year-olds. And your kids are going to socialize in the church with teenagers, and people in their 20s, people in their 30s, people in their 40s, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. They're going to meet divorced people. They're going to meet married people. They're going to meet single people. They're going to meet rich people, they're going to meet poor people. They're going to meet people with mental problems and health problems and emotional problems. And they're going to meet people with all different political spectrums. And they are going to grow up in a hotbed of socialization that they can't get anywhere else. I remember back in 1987, I started taking my children to the nursing home. They were this big. We went every Thursday night for an hour, and we put a program on for them. And they have to sit there with people in wheelchairs and hold their hands and give them cards, and as they learn to play their instruments, they have to play their instruments for them, and they learn that, and they're not spooked to go in a nursing home. I took them to every funeral I ever put on. And they played their instruments at the funerals. They've seen more dead bodies than... But you know what they saw? They saw dead bodies of every age. They've been to funerals where I've buried children, teenagers, and people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. Why? Because a wise man once said to me, there's more education in the house of mourning than there is in the house of mirth. His name was Solomon. And no man, no woman is ready to live until they're ready to die. And I introduced them to reality really young, really while they were very young in life. That was their socialization. We're going to funeral. We're going to the nursing home. I didn't ask them, did you have fun? I didn't care. We're going to church. We're going to church Sunday night. We're going to church Wednesday night. You don't like it? You get spanking when you get home. Learn to like it. And we just subjected them to that. They turned out to be good citizens. And they have no problem socializing. You know who the people are that have problems socializing? The ones that all they've done all their life is hang around with their peers. They wouldn't know what to do in a nursing home. They wouldn't know what to do with babies. Brethren, stay in church. Get involved in Christian ministries. Get your children involved. Take your children out soul winning with you. My kids have been out on visitation with me. They just sat there while I tried to talk to people about the Lord. They get in different houses. Boy, they see some things. How are they going to live in the real world? Well, take them out visiting. Get in the real world in a hurry. Let me talk last of all about friendship. Watch out for friendship with your children. Mothers, you are not your children's buddies. Neither are you dads. You're their parents. You are your children's parents. You are not trying to win a popularity contest with your kids. That's the cart before the horse. You are leading your kids, not following them. You ever see the followers today? Man, they got, where are you going? Oh, I got to get my kids to soccer. I got to get them to ballet. I got to get them to rugby. I got to get them to hockey. I got to get them to baseball. I got to get them to the school play and so on and so forth. And wherever their kids are going, boy, there's mom and dad tagging behind them. There's something wrong with that picture. It should be kids get in the car, we're going to church. Kids get in the car, we're going to nursing home. Kids get in the car, we're going to funeral, going to try to help some people. Kids get in the car, we're going out on visitation. I'm not running you all over the place. Some things are wrong today. Watch out for trying to be your children's buddies. I love my children. I think they love me unless they're really good at acting. I really do. I love my son-in-law, Chris. I love my kids, but I was never, when I was trying to bring them up, I was never worried about, are they going to like me? Like, that's life's goal. I want kids that are going to like me. No, I want kids that, if I drop dead, could make it on their own. Could have the character, the discipline to be hard workers, to be Christians in an unchristian world, to be good citizens. My kids are in their 20s. They've never cost the penal system of New York State one single cent. They've never cost the taxpayers. They're contributors. They pay their taxes. Watch out for friendship. Ladies, two things, and I'll close with this. Here's what you're supposed to be. In 1 Timothy 5:14, it says this. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, listen, guide the house. That word guide comes from a Greek word, oikodespotio. In the middle of that word is the word despot. Look up the word despot in the dictionary, and here's how it's defined. Tyrant, oppressor, monarch having unlimited power, absolute ruler. Oiko means house. Oiko despotia, the tyrant of the house. The monarch with unlimited power. You children that are here, you teens that are here, the Bible still says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. And did you know that if your parents use those four powerful golden words that every parent should use every day of their life, because I said so, they never have to explain the reason why. Your kid says why, and you try to explain it, you've lost your authority. Because I said so is all you need to say. Clean your room. Why? Because I said so. That authority has been given to you by God. Did you know that God never explains his commandments to us? He says, don't steal. Never explains it. That's how he rules. Right? So why? I need food. Or why? I need money. You won't get a response from him. God just says, because I said so. You are to be the guide of your house. And second of all, you are to be the guard of your house. In Titus 2, in verse 4, it says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and I got to say this one, to love their children. So moms, I said you're the despot at home. Now that's because in many biblical nuclear homes, the dad's out working. You know, and I know some cases it's different because the dad's dead or disabled or so. I understand that. But for the most part, that's God's plan. The man goes out and works, and the mother stays home, and she guides the house. And that word means she's the ruler when he's gone. She's the absolute monarch. I heard that a lot growing up. My stepmother would say, because I said so, a lot. And she had another one, too. Wait till your dad gets home. And boy, that would just ruin your spirit. She was not concerned about my fun at that moment or whether I was entertained. That ruined the rest of my day whenever I heard, wait till your dad gets home. And I could try to put that out of my mind, but I was never able to. Those next few hours would be difficult. That they may teach you to love your children. Here it is. You're a benevolent dictator, moms. Love your children. It's a commandment. Got to love your kids. But there's such a thing as tough love, and it sure beats some of this wishy-washy stuff we see nowadays. And then it goes on in verse 5, says this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That word keepers literally comes from a word which means to guard. A keeper of a prison in Bible days was a guard. So you are to guide the house, and you are to guard the house. That doesn't mean walk around the perimeter with a shotgun. But that means you're trying to keep evil from coming into your children's minds through these television programs and through the music they're listening to. And even we have to say to some our kids sometimes growing up, we're sorry, we know these kids live right next door, but you can't play with them anymore. Why? We're guarding them. We're trying to keep them away from some bad influences, and it's not possible to do it all, but you're the guard, moms. You're not their buddy, you're their guide, and you're their guard. Now, later in life, when they figure it out, they will say, hey, she was my best friend. And at the time, they might not enjoy it, but kids tend to grow up and get a little wisdom as time goes by, and they often reflect back after a while and say, boy, Mom was my friend. And these other kids that were trying to introduce me to things, well, left the door open. So, well, that looks great, don't it? You know, you kids that have a mean mother, you think she's mean, you're going to grow up someday. You're not going to agree with me this morning. I understand that. That's why I like mowing the lawn. It's about the only thing I can do there. I see immediate results. But there's coming a day when you're going to say, boy, thank God I had a mean mother. Thank God I had a strict mother. You need to love your moms. I haven't seen my mom in 48 years. She died of cancer when I was 4. And it just kind of bugs me sometimes the way some of these kids around this church treat their mothers. I did have a stepmom, and she tried in her role in some ways. And I was subject to her because Jesus was subject to his stepfather, right, Joseph? He was my example. I had to obey and honor. So on, but you need to quit trying to be your kids' buddies and start being their mom. Start being their dad. Start being their parents. But do it with love. And boy, love is a pretty strong bond. You just keep loving it, loving and loving and loving while you're doing that. But I want you to watch out for three things that are fun. Don't use it in your vocabulary. I don't care if they have fun or not, ask them, what did you learn today? What did you learn today? Boy, you're gonna open up what's called conversation in your home. I'm talking to my kids. Wow. Watch out for fellowship, socialization, who they socialize with. And then watch out for friendship. Say, oh, I want my kids to like me. Some of you that are divorced, you have it even harder because you think you maybe, you know, I hurt my kids or something, I let them down, and so I've got to overcompensate and really have them, let them have a blast. I got to buy them things. No, you need to give them discipline and character and love and the things that will help them maybe do a little better job in some areas than you did. God bless you. God loves you. Well, that's about it this morning. I just wanted to give you moms some things to think about, maybe some mistakes for modern mothers to avoid. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you just bless our short invitation now and the mothers, Mother's Day, grandmas, thank you for them. Lord, somehow help children. It almost seems like a vain prayer, but help children and teens to see now. Open their eyes now to how good their moms are. Not wait till they're older and figure it out. I know some are very good children, very good teens. They love their moms now and appreciate all they're doing. But Lord, help our mothers and fathers, oh God, not to get in line with the crowd and think that I'm just supposed to entertain my kids. But let's educate them. Help us to watch out for socialization, Lord, and also help us not to go through life and say, oh, I want to be my kids' buddies more than anything, but I want to be their parents. Give us the grace for this as we pray about it now in Jesus' name. Amen.